Amen. What a thrill it is to be in God's house today. We have a message for you this morning, but at the same time, I'm going to ask you to bear with me. I'm going to share with a little private item here also that means quite a bit to me. It's been a wonderful week. Last week we had a great service. I also manage condominiums. On Monday we had a board meeting over there. On Wednesday we prepared for the big snow. We got everything ready on Tuesday. We're all set. Everything was set up, knowing we could have anywhere from 3 to 6, 4 to 8, 10 to 12. You know, it could be 12 to 18. All these good forecasts like that, and hopefully that you made it without any problems over there. We canceled service on Wednesday, and except for those that had keys and wanted to come on anyway, they were welcome to. Then on Thursday, and after the cleanup, and I got a call on Thursday, and bless you, I got a call from up where my parents are at. My parents live on the other side of the Blue Ridge, down outside of 28 miles outside of Stanton, near a town called Goshen. The actual town is Craigsville. They live in Bells Valley. There is nothing in Bells Valley except a sign. And I got a call from the lady that goes over and helps them and assists them, and she does some cleaning and other tasks around the house. She got a call and said, "Your parents are doing fine, and but they don't have any phone service. The phone is out." And I said, "Well, how much snow did they have?" And then she said, "Oh, around 20 inches. And so I just kind of said, "You know, I got this call on Thursday about 5:30. I closed things up and headed on down the line there. And I had to change route a little bit because one of the roads were closed there with pine trees being snapped off. They had a lot of tree damage up there and getting in. And I was going able to knock on the door about 8:30 that night. Them having no phone, not knowing I was coming. I didn't want to be too much later because I'm not very confident knocking on a door after about 9, my parents not knowing that, you know, that Joe Biden shotgun thing is real up there in the mountains. You will definitely be looking down both barrels when you go to open that door open." So, and got in, and they seemed very happy to see, and the power was on, so they were watching television, they were just enjoying, and we set up and talked that night at the kitchen table. In the other room where the television is, the television was still going, the lights are on there, but whenever a family gets together, and you know how it is, we gather around that kitchen table, and that's where our conversation took place. And we sit there and just chatted, and we caught up, and we talked about the snows, and they were telling all and how beautiful it was, and all the pictures they took, and all the wonderful things, and they were just quite satisfied. I get concerned for them because there they only have, I would say, anywhere between 18 and 24 months worth of food there in the freezers and in the pantries and in the, you know, and this is not an exaggeration, folks. This is not an exaggeration. So I get concerned about that. You know, a couple years worth is not much sometimes. So, and I just had one of the nicest visits that I've had. Got back on Friday. We came to the concert on Friday night. What a wonderful turnout. God bless during that concert. And everybody was just seemed like, boy, we missed the concerts during the wintertime. And we heard so many comments about people that just simply came in and enjoyed themselves under the presence of God's Holy Spirit and the way that they felt the love of God within the sanctuary on Friday night. Yesterday, I worked down at the house, and on my, I have a small table next to the chair, and in it I have a little glass case. And in that glass case is this Bible. You've never seen it because I've never brought it out to show you. It is one of the keepsakes that I have. This Bible was presented to me from my mother on the day that I was ordained into the ministry. And when you open this Bible, and I showed Joe Klein this morning. When you open the Bible on the first page, My mother's sister's name was Edna. She's gone on to be with the Lord, and this is a Bible that was my mom's mother's Bible. On the first page, it says, "To Mother, from your daughter Edna." This was given Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, December 25th, 1939. Now, when I opened this Bible, and I just felt led yesterday to just open it up and look through, and the pages have turned quite brown, as you can probably see from out there, and the print's fairly small, but I believe that there's something here that we can receive something from God this morning. The scripture that I'm going to focus on is found in 2 Timothy, the second chapter. I love that sound. Don't you love that sound? I just love that sound. Boy, it's so wonderful to have children in church. Amen. In the second chapter in the book of 2 Timothy, and I want to focus on the second verse, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Now, I'm also going to read that section of verses, and this is a New King James Version. I'm going to actually read you from the first all the way down through the seventh verse. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who'll be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." Heavenly Father, add a special blessing unto the reading of your word. We just ask that you will open minds, you will open hearts. You allow us to just simply be refilled with your Holy Spirit today, God. Allow us to have the tools and the understanding so that we can better fashion our lives in service to you and the challenge that you bring to us today. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, all God's people. Amen. Amen. This Bible means a lot to me. Talking in general, the Bible is the most precious thing that God has given us, because the Bible is the Word living. It is a living thing. It is how we understand. It is how we come to know Christ. This is the Jesus book. Everything in the Old Testament points forward to the King of Kings coming. Everything in the New Testament talks about his life, about his teaching. And in what I like, in the end, it says we win if we keep our faith in him. But I also like this one individual Bible, because this one individual Bible means a great deal to me. I keep it in that little case, and it doesn't get any dust on it like that. And I'm afraid to open it sometimes, you know. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to look at it, but I don't want to hurt it. So I've kept it away from each and every one of you today. Except for Joe Klein, and I had my eye on him when he was looking at it. But it's simply a keepsake that is precious to me. I believe that God challenges us, that's a hard word for me to say those two together, in how we should better spread the gospel. Through years, I know when I was young, I heard of the Great Crusades, Billy Graham, what a wonderful torchbearer for the word of Christ. When you turn on that television, boy, you'd see wonderful celebrities there, all the great testimonies. You'd hear George Beverly Shea. Oh, he would sit up there and boom, how great songs, how great thou, you know, wonderful. When I'd rather have Jesus. And I can remember, oh, how exciting. I've been to many a revival, and I absolutely enjoyed it. I've been here in this area where they had tents. Back down on Van Dorn Street on the side, used to be some big fields over there. My friend, that was a pretty expensive land, turned out to be, where they had those old tents on in the revival. But I'll tell you, during that revival time, the music that would play and people would gather, and oh, what a wonderful outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. Times have changed. We have so much information at our fingertips. I saw someone just in the past few days with their Kindle reading their Bible. I was amazed at how quickly they could flip to any verse and pull down. I know on the internet such wonderful teaching that you can receive. It's amazing to me how we can get the word out so quickly through those texts. And when you get the word that somebody's hurting, or try to get the update on somebody who's been in surgery or a broken foot, that you can quickly converse with one another. But still, the thing that moves us, the thing that guides us, the things that directs us is God's Holy Spirit that lives within us. God's Holy Spirit is a powerful thing. It is something that He gives us. I will leave, but I will send to you a comforter. A comforter. Something that will empower you to deal with the challenges that you face day in and day out. Now the question is, how do we learn about these things? How do I learn more about the Bible? How do I learn more how to take these principles that I hear over in Sunday school class? How do I better place them within my everyday life? Oh, it's easy to come into church and be, oh, praise God, glory, everybody's having a good time. And then you go out there and the first one you run into is going to be mean. I'm not talking about you married couples. I'm just talking about the first one that you may run into out there may be mean. You never know. But how do I take the love of God and put it into my life? I think you have to have ears that are open, ears that hear, eyes that see. And it begins in this scripture about the apostle giving instructions. These things that you have heard, share these things with other men, with other women, so that they can teach others. Do we want followers? Or do we want to cultivate leaders? That's the question I'm going to pose to you today. If you have followers, let's say you're going out here and you have, Terry Lee has popsicles. And he has enough in that box that he might get 10 followers. If he has certain flavors, I might be a follower. I know when I was young, some of the times in my life I hated the most is when I went to the freezer, opened it up, and you know those different flavors of popsicles? Everybody liked that cherry one, you know. Man, everybody liked that grape one. Oh, when I'd get there, it'd be orange. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, man. So I'd close that. When are we going to get some more popsicles? When you finish the ones in the freezer. You know how it goes. He may be able to have folks that follow. So that group's going to grow to about 8 or 10 until he gets down to the orange popsicles. But if on the other hand, we come up with a way to design a box of popsicles that doesn't have any orange. They're all grape, they're all cherry, they're all the flavors that we like. And we share that knowledge with another individual. They're going to have some followers too, and somebody else is going to have. And boy, God's word is going to grow. I believe that Mount Calvary is developing leaders. I've been thinking about this a lot. God is impressing upon me about how we fit. And I see people that are changing in their walk, changing in their talk. They're able to find out the answers that they want from God by looking at the Bible themselves. Not always running off to the preacher, to the teacher. But they're able to open their Bible and look and say, God, allow me to grow in you. Allow me to take those things that I have heard and place them in my life. And also allow me to share these answers that I have found with others. What do you have to be? It says in the Word, endure hardship as a soldier. I'm so proud of these guys on Friday night and singing and just the relationship that you have together and the fun that we have doing it. That's why we sang for you this morning, because we enjoy it. We didn't have Brother Matt here, so we thought you'd listen to us one time. Friday night, you know, Matt gets up there and sings, and even the owner of the group comes out. He says, my goodness, does that young man sound good. What a wonderful voice and all like that. And I can pick on him because he's not here today, but I'll tell you one thing. He's the real deal, because he has one of the biggest hearts of anybody I've ever met. And when he stands up there, he is a soldier. Both ways. Serving our great country over here at Andrews, but at the same time serving the Lord Jesus Christ in the army of Christianity. That's the army I'm talking about. And I love the testimony. I love the testimony. We have to endure hardship. We have to be as soldiers. And I like that little phrase that soldiers always get around to, no one left behind. Although somebody may be going through addiction, nobody's going to be left behind. Although somebody might be struggling here, nobody's going to be left behind. About a farmer who works very hard, and that means a lot to me, because I see my father as, he was a roofer. He worked hard. When you're up on those roofs, it's the hottest day in the summer and the coldest day in the winter. But his passion and the thing he loved was this farming. So excited to have those tomatoes that were just unbelievable. So excited about what God could produce out of land that you simply work. But I'll tell you one thing, for those of you who've done it, it's hard work. But the pride that you take when you've applied yourself to the task at hand, and God blesses it. Amen. Amen. And an athlete. I've always been drawn to sports. Don't worry, you won't be here long, because my club's in the back of my car. In case you were curious. I've always been drawn to the athletes, those that are willing to put in the effort. Ever since I was young, I always liked to play anything that had a ball with it. Boy, let's just play. We never had those great expensive games. But boy, if we had a ball, a bat or a stick, we were ready. We were done. That's all you need to do. We'd be back in come dark. But the thing that always impressed was being able to play by the rules, it says. When we played basketball, we'd pick up games. You call the fouls yourself. He hit me. No problem. You get the ball back. It's It's one thing I do like about that game of golf, because you call the penalties on yourself. I know people sometimes, the game's evolved, how people will fake injuries on the football field or flop backwards, somebody bumped into them. It's not the way you play the game. Play the game by the rules, by the rules. And it applies so much to us in this church, in our Christian walk. Simply play by the rules. Simply, simply. So that people will see. So that people will feel. So that people will better understand this thing that God has done for us. The thing that we want to share. It's pretty hard to share when people have no respect for you. We've all done that. Made that mistake, been awkward, said the wrong thing, stepped on somebody's toes. We've all done that. But it's how you handle it. It's whether or not you're willing to be the person who says, you know what, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Because if you're able to do that, then you've got a great insight on the gospel. For the gospel asks a great question: how can you ever stand in front of a God who forgave you without you yourself willing to forgive others? One of the great statements in the Word of God. I believe that God is working just wonderful things here, and you know, I'm excited. I hear the things in government, bad. From sequester to snowquester to all the other questers. I hear people and talking about the young folks and all, they say terrible things, but I'll tell you one thing, I'm excited. I believe the youth that God fills with His Holy Spirit are going to change things around. When I am, trust me folks, when I'm next door taking a little dirt nap over there, there's going to be young folks that are going to come forward proclaiming the name of Jesus, excited about what He has done for them in their lives, lifting up so that all men may be drawn unto Him. I believe that. Why? Because hopefully they will have learned from us. I learn from each and every one of you. It's our interaction together that God blesses so richly. It's how we play together makes such a difference. This sermon is not one to shake you up. It's not one to make you go home and just jump in that word, oh, I got to check this. This sermon is nothing more than me thanking God for what He's done for me. It's nothing more than me reflecting back on the good folks that I've had in my life, individuals that I've learned from, and also the fellow soldiers that I have here working with me in Mount Calvary, the fellow athletes, trying our best to play by the rules. And the fellow farmers, we are simply planting seeds that God is going to give the increase to. So today, I say thank you. Heavenly Father, we have come into Your house. We have lifted up the name of Jesus. We've sung songs about the Master. We've heard prayer requests for wives, for mothers, for grandsons, for daughters, for so many, God. We have opened up Your word. We've received the challenge. Now, God, let us take it to heart. As You are changing our lives, let us be willing to help those that are crying out, those with needs. Let us do it in a warm, compassionate, tender way, always forgiving, always conscious of what you did for us. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Give us safe traveling mercies as we leave your sanctuary. And God, you just put a fire in each and every one of us to do more for you. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus and all God's people. Said amen.